here's the problem with Trump. This is why I didn't vote for him. I knew that this administration is balls, does not have the will to do it. And you want to know how you knew they have no balls? When Charlie Kirk got shot, they didn't do nothing to Antifa, to the far left, any of these people. And the problem is the administration is pissing them off. It's provoking them, agitating them. The Letitia James stuff, the James Comey stuff, they're poking the left in the eye, but they have no real way to use the federal government. They're not wielding it properly or efficiently. And so what Jim Acosta said, that is a little window into the future. The left is going to take back the House. They're going to subpoena everybody, impeach everybody, prosecute everybody. They're going to come in 28. Maybe they're going to win, and then they're going to bury us. So yeah, the problem with Trump is he's barking up the wrong tree. You either destroy the left or they get in and then they destroy us. It's that simple.
Nick, do you think that these kind of videos are going to have any effect in the fall? Like, because this is something that's broadly unpopular with the American people. And there's so much awful imagery for the left coming out. Do you think that this actually would affect people in midterms? I personally think that it would affect if it was a presidential election. Do you think that it'll get people out in the midterms?
Absolutely not. No, because these are left-wing people that are activated. And that's what happens. When the incumbent is in charge, they always lose seats in the midterms. They always lose seats in the House in particular 2 years later. And that's because the left or the opposing party always gets animated and charged up. They get activated by those hot button issues. So these are the same people. These are the shock troops for the legions of the blue wave. They're going to come in 26 in the fall, and we're going to get buried. What is it, like a 3-seat majority? We lose the House, it's curtains. They're going to jam up everything, and then they are going to destroy us. And the difference is the left does not play.
No.
They said, you know, we need F you Democrats. That's all they've ever been. You know, that's what Biden did. That's what this is going to be. And we are all toast when that happens. So for me, I look at the left and people are saying, I saw that tweet. They said, well, Tim Walz isn't doing anything. Dude, Trump is the president. Isn't this our golden age? Bring in the feds, bring in the troops, shut it down. It's your country. But, you know, our people are not serious. They're playing games. They're giving speeches, doing interviews. They got to send in the troops and crush these people. That's what it's all about. But they're going to wait for them to march.
These activists have been disrupting law enforcement for a decade plus. And the repercussions are always slap on the wrist, minor charges, rubber bullets. ICE is out enforcing real law. They're not doing crowd control, so they're armed with lethal munitions. And these activists, because they've never felt consequences, literally, quote, why did you have real bullets? Yeah. They think they're playing a game. They think they're playing cops and robbers.
You know, I don't think we should send in the troops. I'll tell you why. I think that the goal of there's Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals. The left, the communist momentum wants the government to establish a fascist crackdown so they can say, see, we told you they're fascist, and then rally a communistic communal revolution against the government. That's my main concern.
Well, Nick, I was going to say, just as far too as like antagonizing the left, I mean, don't you think they would sort of escalate this way anyway, even with or without Trump in office? Because like I look at the Trump administration, I'm like, look, whatever concerns anyone may have, it's at least buying us time. It's giving us breathing room. And for me, that means it's worthwhile to throw support behind. I mean, like net negative migration is like huge, I would say, going forward.
I don't feel a lot of breathing room right now. And I think that, you know, there's arguments that like, well, when a Republican's in charge, it buys us time to organize and do things like that. But it's like Elon bought Twitter when Biden was in charge. Censorship got relaxed when Biden was in charge. I feel like the right was never more powerful than a year ago or 2 years ago in 2024. That's when we were at our like apogee. And when Trump gets in power, it's the opposite. Like all the censorship happened in Trump's first term. Charlottesville happened in his first term. BLM happened in his first term. The vax was created in his first term. And, you know, you're right. The left probably would have gotten charged up anyway. I think, though, that let's say Trump lost the election in 24. Kamala gets in. I don't think they have as much momentum, because the difference is if it's like a continuation of the Democrats, there's still this like right wing anger saying this is an illegitimate government. Kamala never won a primary. If she brings us to war, doubly so. No one believes the election's legit. But Trump wins. And now the right wing is complacent because the right wing says we won. Let's go home. They, you know, you think people are doing something with the breathing room. They're not. The left is breathing. The left is getting excited. And I would have supported Trump if I had confidence that he would use what he gets to actually, like, blow up some of these agencies.
That's Nick Fuentes on Tim Pool last night. Really, it was probably one of the best appearances Nick's ever done, I have to say. It was very good. And I agree completely. Couldn't agree more.
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on The War Room, with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Share those links, folks. You know, it's interesting. I was just, you know, watching that segment of Nick Fuentes on Tim Pool. And, of course, I agree with everything they're saying, but I'm going through, you know, the stack of news while it's happening. It's just like confirmation of everything that's being said, right, from the Federalist. Trump's do-nothing Minnesota response is an embarrassment. While Trump overzealously obsesses about acquiring Greenland and other foreign policy ventures, AI, and swapping rhino Senator Bill Cassidy with a rhino House member, a major American state is continuing its rapid descent into third world despotism. By now, most Americans have seen the viral incident of the anti-ICE agitators, which included media hack Don Lemon, storming a church in St. Paul, Minnesota over the weekend in an apparent violation of federal law, while Lemon harassed the church's pastor about why he wasn't okay with demented leftists infringing on his congregation's worship service. The group's other members screeched in the faces of attending families. The anarchists reportedly believed one of the church's pastors was a member of ICE. Members of the Trump administration quickly took to social media to pledge accountability for the incident. Attorney General Pam Bondi claimed that the Justice Department will prosecute federal crimes and ensure the rule of law prevails, while the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said that President Trump will not tolerate the intimidation and harassment of Christians in their sacred places of worship. That was a lie. But that was a lie. They're being tolerated. It is being tolerated as we speak. Nothing is being done. Except the president has already tolerated this type of leftist-led intimidation and harassment throughout Minnesota for weeks. The primary reason those left-wing anarchists felt comfortable enough storming the church is because Trump and his administration have given them zero reason to fear any real accountability for their actions. Left-wing violence and harassment against ICE agents and everyday residents has been occurring in Minneapolis and across the state for weeks. And it goes on and on. And Trump's doing nothing about it. Trump's pathetic and weak response is already an embarrassment. But should he continue this impotent strategy, the anarchy currently unfolding is bound to get much, much worse. Continued abdication of proper law enforcement will further embolden leftist agitators and take more egregious and increasingly violent actions against ICE and non-leftists in Minnesota. And once their allies operating in other cities and states see there's no real consequence from the Trump administration for this apparent lawbreaking, the violence will in all likelihood spread like wildfire across the country, culminating in a quote-unquote summer of love 2.0. And it'll probably be worse. It'll probably be worse than this so-called summer of love. I mean, it's already seemingly worse, and we're sort of just at the tip of it, tip of the iceberg here. And I got to admit, I'm seeing nothing that hints that Trump, like at this point, it's just one of those things. At this point, the fact that Trump hasn't done anything means he's not going to do anything. If already the conditions haven't been met, if we haven't qualified for the Insurrection Act, like when is that ever going to happen? I don't think it's ever going to happen. And I think it's less likely the closer we get to the midterms. But I don't even think this is their real plan. In fact, we know what their real plan is. And it's again, one of these things where I can't help but look forward and just, you know, I'd love to be wrong, but without any intervening action from the Trump administration, it's pretty obvious what the pattern of behavior is going to be here. Because we saw it already. We saw it in 2020. And like going back, do you think Trump regrets not doing something in 2020 to stop what was going on, if for no other reason than to stop the mail-in ballot scam from going forward. I mean, that alone would have been reason enough in 2020 to impose martial law on certain locations. Going, no, they're using this excuse of a virus, this emergency, to unconstitutionally alter the voting system in a way that makes it impossible to ever tell if we've elected the right person. We can't allow this to happen. But he didn't do any of that. He didn't intervene. He didn't stop the riots. He didn't crack down. He lost the election. They spent the next 4 years trying to throw him in jail or shoot him in the head. And then they had the J6 fabricated event, the false flag, in which they sent thousands of Trump supporters, many of whom totally innocent, most of whom didn't even really break a law, let alone a violent action. But they all were imprisoned, some cases solitary confinement for 2 years, totally torturing the American people. And we've gotten absolutely no relief for any of that. And so, in a way, it's almost like, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Trump does do something. I hope things go a different way. I don't think I am. And I think, kind of like with the QAnon stuff, it's like we almost have to act as if we know the conclusion and that it's the worst conclusion possible. In other words, there's no benefit in acting as if everything's in control and Trump is going to crack down and we're all going to be fine. Because if that doesn't happen, you're totally unprepared. If it does happen, great. But if it doesn't, which almost certainly won't, then you're just wasting your time and you're going to be flat-footed when the hammer comes down. Or we can just go, look, Trump is not who we thought he was, or he's not doing what he should be doing. He's not going to crack down on these people. They're only going to increase their violence. They're only going to increase their radicalism. They're going to elect radicals. Those radicals are going to get into office, and they do not give a damn about the Constitution. They do not give a damn about morality or America. I mean, genuinely, these people are awful. And we have an example of this with Virginia, some of the new laws they immediately passed. I mean, within 48 hours of getting power in Virginia, they're passing laws to legalize discriminating against white people, to let rapists out without bail. I mean, deliberately making everything less safe, everything worse. And by the way, they made it like illegal to check ID at the polling place. So I doubt Virginia is going to flip back red anytime soon. They've basically made their party permanent in Virginia, barring some, you know, major revolutionary event. And they did it, by the way, with the new governor, who is a literal product of the CIA. She is a former CIA agent. So they elect a CIA agent who immediately makes crime legal, makes it legal to discriminate against white people, and makes it illegal to have secure elections. Now imagine that only on the national level, when they get rid of the filibuster, shove everything through, and we've already seen the way that their judge networks are completely corrupt, have absolutely no sense of even pretending that they're acting in good faith and, you know, unbiased in an unbiased way. They're just leftist activists in judge rooms. So it's not like the judges are going to stop and intervene and say, wait, this is a violation of their basic human rights. They don't give a damn either. And when you think back to 2020, 2021, and you realize, like, they not only threw people in prison for peacefully protesting in torturous conditions many times, and these people have never, again, nothing's ever been done to them. I mean, the people that did this are still being given high-profile cases in the Trump administration. Ballantyne, this woman, Ballantyne, whatever her name is, was the one who pressured people to try to claim that Trump was encouraging them to go riot in the Capitol. She is still in charge. It's just Like, it really sucks, but, and I'm not like a fear monger. I don't want you to be scared. I'm not trying to like say that everything is destroyed and be blackpilled, but it's reality. And I'm not so delusional to think that America is immune to this sort of stuff. When you study history, the one thing you learn is that nothing is permanent. What's the line from The Godfather? If there's one thing you learn from history, it's that anybody can be killed. Well, the one other thing you learn from history is that any system can collapse. Any country can devolve into not just things don't work that well, but reign of terror, blood in the streets, running for your life, wondering where your family is. Like, things can get insane very, very quickly, especially if the left tries to get rid of the First Amendment and starts arresting people for speech. Like, that's the point. It's going to have to kick off. And it's going to get really messy. And I just hope enough Americans still retain that spark of the rebel. I've read enough Solzhenitsyn to know that your love of liberty and willingness to fight and die for it may be the deciding factor in the very near future. Because we know what their plan is. Their plan is to take over unions, take over industries, consolidate their networks for the next 2 years so they can launch the May Day 2028 mass strike across the whole country where they're going to shut down the economy and make demands that we basically become a communist state. It is literally a second Bolshevik revolution, not in a way that is hyperbolic and, oh my God, you know, Obamacare, next thing we're going to be in the gulags. No. We are literally following step by step all of the prerequisites that are necessary before a genuine full-fledged revolution. Like, I really want people to take this seriously. I don't think people are. I'll post stuff about this and you still get that old played out comment. Well, at least we'll get to be friends in the gulag. I'm like, yeah, that's not funny. No, they're really going to throw us in a gulag. I mean, maybe I have a different perspective on this because I'm like friends with people like Stuart Rhodes. But if you're friends with somebody, like, they're going to send armed men to your house to haul you away, throw you in a concrete box, rig a show trial against you, and then you're going to be trapped in a cell for the next 20 years of your life if you're lucky. Most people in these revolutions just get murdered. So it's like, what is plan B for us? So plan A is Trump, and it ain't happening. And if it does happen, great, but for the sake of literally me getting to see the age of 40, like, yeah, I'm going to have to start sort of acting as if I know that by 2028, America will be in a full-fledged state of communist revolt, and that I'm probably going to have a group of people hold up somewhere defending our lives. Like, I'm not even joking. That really is where we're headed. And if you think I'm wrong, I just crack a history book. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. These things are not, like, unavoidable. We could easily defeat all of this. I'm talking about an event that is scheduled 2 years from now. At any point in the next 2 years, we could intervene, we could arrest the people doing it easily. No problem at all. If I were you, I would bookmark this episode and I'd come back to this 2 years from now and you tell me if anybody has done anything. This is what I said on X yesterday. In 2020, Trump did nothing to stop BLM. They rioted, they burned cities, attacked cops, murdered people, destroyed priceless works of art. It created a lawless autonomous zone where a child was murdered and nothing happened to any of them. Then they stopped hiring white men, defunded the police, eliminated bail, elected radicals, rewrote school curriculum, and funneled billions of dollars to their NGO networks. Those few rioters who actually were arrested never got charged, of course, but have now been given gigantic payouts from the cities, New York, Philadelphia, Seattle. They have all paid tens of millions of dollars into the hands of the rioters that burned their cities down in 2020. Then MAGA protested the stolen election, so they arrested thousands of regular people and threw the most prominent activist in prison for 20 years for terrorism, even if they never planned anything and were in a totally different state when the actual riot happened. So my question is, what if that happens again? In other words, what if these protests continue to grow? What if they continue to get more violent? What if judges continue to block federal deployment of troops and Trump adheres to their demands for some inexplicable reason? What if they're able to, you know, weather this storm, and a year from now, Tim Walz and Keith Ellison and Jacob Frey are not only still in their positions, maybe they've gotten some sort of promotion. Maybe Ellison is the governor at that point and Tim Walz is running for president or something. I mean, it's not hard to see how, absent any intervention from Trump, there is absolutely no barrier to this snowball that has already been rolling down the hill of communist revolution getting bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where 2 years from now, we will be in a state of Russia in 1917. Or we could choose to stop it at any point. Literally any point. But we're not going to, so. So there you go. Again, it's a bummer, but, you know, Trump really wants Greenland, so that's what he's focusing on. I mean, he's got an insurrection, you know, there's this gigantic scam network across the whole country stealing literally tens of billions of dollars with cooperation with the very local authorities that are encouraging their constituency to rise up against ICE and commit violence against them. So, I mean, what are we doing exactly? I mean, I would never be stupid enough to say that, like, Kamala Harris would be better than Trump by any means. But part of me at this point is kind of like, man, what if they succeeded in arresting Trump? Like, what if he was in jail and, like, J.D. Vance had to run instead? Or, like what if we, you know, I don't, obviously Trump is better than the Democrats, but not by much. I mean, I don't know. Seems like maybe like somebody else could have done a better job. I don't know. I mean, it's a bummer. Again, we're 1 year into Trump's second administration. And he pardoned the January Sixers. That was good. He closed the border. Excellent work. And the vaccine stuff's been good, RFK. What else, though? What else have we gotten so far? Nothing, as far as I can tell. I mean, the things that we have gotten, I don't want, don't actually matter. Wow, we just stole the president of Venezuela. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Prices are still incredibly high. People are still not hiring white people. Our birth rate is still in the toilet. We're still being flooded by H-1B visas. What have we gotten? What have we benefited from Trump's administration so far? Even the deportations are lower than they were under Barack Obama, except the way that we're going about them is inspiring the outrage and the you know, leftist communist agitation that's seeding the groundwork for the full-fledged revolution. So I don't know. Maybe it would have been better if he'd just been arrested, thrown in jail for whatever they can come up with. I don't know. But I am, I feel like the betrayal is almost inexplicable. I mean, it is inexplicable because you would think that Trump, if nothing else, would at least want to be seen as a cool guy in the future. He is literally going to be one of the most despised person in the history of the world if things keep going in this direction. He already is to the left, and like the right wing is getting there, honestly. And it's just like, what the hell? So yeah, I mean, it's inexplicable on the face of it. But it's also almost inconceivable. It's like, this was kind of our last chance. And the guy said he was going to do all the things we wanted him to do, and now he's just not. And so, you know, in a way, you know, there's like personal betrayal. This is like betrayal on a planetary level. And it's like affecting the entire course of human history for the next 10,000 years or however long we're around. So, you know, it's like kind of a gigantic, unimaginably big deal that nothing is being done about this. And at a certain point, it's on us for falling for it and believing in it and adhering to the learned helplessness that we've been indoctrinated into, where we just keep begging the Trump administration to do something, anything, and they keep not doing anything. And then that's just the cycle that we're in. And we just repeat that over and over. Eventually, we got to break out of that cycle, and we just got to go, okay, well, we're doing it ourselves then. Let the chips fall where they may. There's only one thing that's worse than war, and it's being conquered without fighting. And that's what's happening right now. So, I hope you get Greenland, Trump. That'll make everything better, right? Gosh, if only we had Greenland. I'm pretty sure the reason we want Greenland is because we're going to start World War III directly with Russia, and we want to be able to defend ourselves from Greenland if they start launching missiles. So, like, they really, really want to kick off World War III directly with Russia. We know it's what Europe's doing. We know the American deep state is fully invested in that. But maybe they feel like they can't do it until they get Greenland. Because there's got to be something that explains the incredible and random and seemingly arbitrary demands about Greenland that kind of came out of nowhere and are now dominating the American presidency while we face a complete insurrection at home and a communist revolution within 2 years. We'll get back to that on the other side. I honestly don't even know what to do at this point, because stories like this from InfoWars: California Governor Newsom sides with Europe over America, urges EU citizens to, quote, stand tall against Trump, and calls world leaders pathetic for rolling over to the president of the United States. It's like, when we live in a world where Americans will vote for a guy who, like, genuinely, like, hates America and is, like, siding with our opponents, I don't know how to deal with a world where people just let this happen and don't care and are on his side. You're American, dumbass. You're fighting against America. Our system is supposed to not allow that to happen because the people are supposed to care, but they don't.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for your endless and tireless support over the years. We try to make it easy to be supporters with fabulous products that really enrich and empower your life. A wide selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. All sorts of really cool knives, collectibles, and the most important, the best supplements you're going to find anywhere. Whatever the highest rated is, whatever has the best studies, whatever has the 5-star reviews. I mean, if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, if you don't get our bovine colostrum that's the very best, if you don't get our Shilajit or our sea moss, you're crazy. If you don't get our turmeric that's the strongest out there, anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, so good for you, you're crazy. Big sales going on the side, 40% off on things like the World War II modern version trench knife, limited edition InfoWars black on white trucker hat, free with every order. And they had this thing going since Thursday. I didn't notice it until Sunday, so I had them extended one day today. But that's it. Every order gets one of these, limited edition, in there. So get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. But with the deals we got, we need to sell a lot of stuff to fund this operation. So do yourself a favor, Mr. Sit on the Fency. I'm not mad at you. I'm telling you. Get the methylene blue. We have the best. It is so good for you. It is so game-changing, so good for your mind, so good for all your cells, so good for telomeres. Just get a bottle of ultramethylene blue. Support the broadcast. Finally, because we got even more documents in and more depositions and things, we are about to file our huge, massive civil rights suit with conspiracy against rights, all the proof, the DOJ, the CIA, the Democratic Party, you know, the law firms. I mean, this is a, and by the way, under the rules, we had to show them the suit a few weeks ago, and they went completely ape and threatened us and everything else with, you know, all this stuff they're going to do. Great, because we got all the evidence up one side and down the other. But I'm taking on the big boys. So know this, the majority of the funding you send us buying products goes to the fight against the tyrants. And we are fully committed to that. They want this show off the air because I know what I'm talking about. That's why I get mad at the shows that are, you know, innuendo and conspiracy theories. I've never been a conspiracy theorist, folks. That's what the media calls me. That's a CIA term. I am an analyst. I'm a futurist, and I know what I'm talking about, and my guests know what they're talking about. You know my rule. Who do I have on all the time? People that are consistently right. I associate with people that got their acts together, and I can tell you, we know what we're doing. This broadcast belongs to you. You built this. It's fighting for your future, my future, all of us collectively, but we can't do it without you. Make the commitment in this ocean of media and information. The bad guys particularly hate this show because we know what we're doing. We're steering people right, but we can't take these people on without you. I need your support. Word of mouth, prayer, and financial support, and I make it damn easy. This is a win-win. All you got to do is go to thealexshowstore.com. I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the War Room. I got a lot of videos to show you. I think we'll start with... let's start with clip one here. The theme tying all these together will be a couple things. One, that you cannot look at the actions of the New World Order, however you want to define that, the actions of the WEF and the UN and the governments of Europe and America. You cannot look at their behavior over the last two decades and not see that they are being deliberately destroyed by their own leadership. That is obvious. There's no other explanation. Because the decisions they're making, it's not like they seemed good at the time and turned out to be wrong. They were always and inevitably going to have the outcomes that they've had, which have been universally negative for the people of Europe and America. That's one thing, is that there's no debate. You can come up with your justifications for it, your explanations for it. You cannot deny the fact that the European and American leadership has done everything it can for the last two decades to destroy Europe and America. It's not an accident, okay? The other thing is the unrelenting inability of the liberals to recognize this fact and to put these two things together and to have just even the bare minimum self-preservation instinct to recognize when they're under attack. It really is pathetic. So let's start with clip number one here. The Democrat open border plan to enrich a single party, to establish and entrench single party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. Let's watch.
The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
From at Western Lensman, really an incredible production. And of course, the really interesting thing about it, you should really think about this, is that you can replace the word America with Europe, and it perfectly applies. Isn't that interesting? Why is it that both America and Europe, despite being entirely different continents with entirely different political setups, with entirely different characters, entirely different population pressures, America's got an ocean separating it from the Middle East, and yet both of these two political bodies, Europe and America, followed exactly the same playbook point by point to flood their countries with foreigners and then entrench the foreigners as a permanent bloc in opposition to the native class. Is that even possible to have happened without collaboration, coordination, orchestration, and conspiracy? Absolutely not. It would be crazy enough for one group to be doing this because it's suicidal on the face of it, because it's obviously so horrifically damaging to the fabric of your entire society and your ability to exist into the future. It is retarded to do any of this. So just one place doing this would be absurd. But it's happening in every single European diaspora country, from Australia to Ireland to America, whether they were colonizers or not, whether they were on which side of World War II. Like, nothing matters except that every single white country in the entire world at the exact same time engaged in this utterly suicidal behavior for no discernible reason. Really interesting how coordinated all of this was, and how identical these two programs have been run in America and Europe, just with different sort of language and justifications for why they had to destroy your countries, why you had no choice, why it was very mean to not destroy your country for the sake of millions of hostile foreigners that you created as refugees by bombing their home countries. It really is just it's probably the greatest crime that's ever been committed. I don't have words to describe what it is we're living through at this moment. It's probably the greatest crime in the history of human beings. Can't think of much that has destroyed more in a more permanent and irreversible way, that has caused more strife and pain and suffering. I mean, this has been the murder of a continent, the slow, torturous murder of a continent that is being prevented from fighting back by its own leadership. And this is true for all European countries, but I would point to something like Ireland as maybe the most egregious and horrifying example of this place that was always a subject of imperial power, was always kept under the boot of the UK, they didn't colonize anybody. They weren't out there imposing their will on unwilling populace ever. They were the ones being imposed upon. They're the ones that were treated like dirt by the rest of Europe, and even when they came over to America. And despite never doing anything to anyone, Ireland has been betrayed and murdered by its own people. And it is hard to fathom that level of destruction being wrought on purpose by design and with evil intentions. Let's go to clip number 56 here, because this relates to at least one of the points in that multi-step process to destroy America. The fact about counting the census, counting illegal aliens in the census, and the unwillingness or incapacity for liberals to even comprehend what's being said, because, well, maintaining their ideology and their positions depends on them being willfully ignorant, pretending to be stupid because reality is against them. Let's watch.
Lost a House seat because the number of bodies, not citizens, bodies in California went down.
The current ICE raids violate American values and constitutional rights.
The borders should be strengthened. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what do you do with the people that are here that aren't criminals?
Just want to take a bird's eye view of all of this. It has to do with the number of representatives in the House that are allotted to each state. Why did Nancy Pelosi, like, want to give free houses to undocumented immigrants? Why? Because of apportionment. California had the most U-Haul rentals of people leaving California. So in order to counteract that and get their house seat back, they're incentivizing illegal immigration. Please try to take the emotion out of it for one millisecond. I know that it's hard, but it really has to do with the number of bodies, the number of house seats, and power. Because I guarantee you, if apportionment went back to just counting U.S. citizens,
which is
about illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And I want to say one more thing, too. My family, I was born in New York, like, in 1979, and we went back to Iran, and the revolution started, and they wouldn't let Jews leave. My father was threatened with his life. He said he was going on a medical conference, flew to Vienna, left the passports of me, my sister, and my mother in the government's hands so that they knew we weren't escaping. Mm. My mother hired smugglers. We went to the bazaar one day. They put us in the back of a covered truck. We were in fetal position with strangers. Burlap sacks and corn were put on top of us, and we were taken to the border of Pakistan, where we got into a pickup truck. That night in the desert, border police caught us and started shooting at us. We lived in Pakistan for 3 months waiting for visas to reunite with my father. We stayed in Vienna for 3 more months to get legal documents to come to this amazing country legally. It's the right way to do it. We can't not know who is here. They just found a Hamas, somebody who participated in the October 7th attacks. They caught him here in the U.S. Why? Because when Biden administration let all these people in without checking who they are, they let in a Hamas terrorist who participated in October 7th.
They let in tens of thousands of terrorists and tens of thousands of Chinese nationals and tens of thousands of Venezuelan gang members. I mean, what is the justification for this? How do you even, like, steel man the argument from the other side? I don't know. I mean, it's just another one of these things where there, as far as I can tell, there's no valid argument for why you would count illegal aliens and we just never get to debate it. So it just happens. It's just insane. It just is actually insane. Why do illegal immigrants count on the census? Why do they get welfare? Why any of this stuff? It is crazy the liberals never ask themselves these questions. They never concern themselves with what ulterior motives might possibly be hiding behind the just, I don't know, pabulum that they're given, the just boilerplate, we're fighting for all humans, okay? And, like, that's enough. As long as you say something like that as a leftist, you can just be like, and anyway, here's my new bill to poison elementary school food. And they're just like, cool, great, fine. I don't know. What else could you do that just has no explanation how it would benefit anybody ever except for bad people? Like, they just do it and then call us racist for opposing it. It's really strange. Residing in Louisiana, accused of ties to Hamas-led October 7th attack. Yeah. But I don't, I mean, it's like the least of my worries. I'm honestly more concerned about the, you know, Israeli snipers that are walking around us, having just got off a mission where they killed children for fun. That's not the concern. The concern is, why are we counting them in the census? Why is our government dominated by Democrats when the actual people that live in this country don't vote for them? Why is our system built to allow foreigners to not just have a say, but in many cases have a say over and above actual citizens? God only knows how many places in the country where the American people who lived and born, whose family built the place, it would be Republican, except it's Democrat because a bunch of foreigners come in and cheat in the elections. It really just happens over and over. Let's go to clip number 47 here. This is Greg Gutfeld last night delivering a very powerful monologue about the state of Minnesota. Let's watch.
What's really going on?
Renee Goodenberg.
Yes, yes, because that is actually not the story here. The story is, yes, the story is how you got here. And you won't admit that that is the reason why we're this isn't about immigration. It isn't about ICE. It isn't about Trump. It is about suicidal empathy that is driven by a rescue fantasy. You have all of these young, middle-aged women going out there because they have some kind of emptiness in their lives, that are going out there in this kind of rescue delusion, helping people they don't know, strangers who are guilty of crimes. How can you defend that? This is not protesters going to a church. That is a mob. The people that invented the phrase safe spaces are breaking it up, frightening kids, right? These are the people that call us fascists and they're hunting people. These are the people that claim to defend women and yet are defending men who abuse women. These are the people that call us homophobic and yet they want to out ICE guys for using, I don't know, gay sex apps. Let's be honest here. Fry's a pussy. He's scared of these people, or else he would stand up for it. Calling it love? There's no such thing as a mob with love. And imagine showing this tape to Don Lemon 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and saying, is this where you saw yourself, Lemon? Crashing a church service, scaring kids, attacking a pastor? Was this your hope and dream to do this? Radicalization is gradual. Black Lives Matter is now bad guys matter. And now you'll defend anything. You're defending rapists. These are the people you're defending.
On what?
And I'm going to go back. No. You had your chance. You brought this up. Where are the police? You know, when you have Hamas supporters and Jewish students, police make the separation. Antifa, Proud Boys, police make the separation. Pro-life and feminists, police make the separation. Somehow that separation is not even here. Even when the leaders are framing this as protesters versus persecutors, because that's part of the this fantasy world that you live in. And yet they decide that they don't need cops to separate it. The ICE agents aren't supposed to deal with that. Mm-hmm. That's what the police do. So you got to ask yourself, why aren't the police there? Because it's a deliberate thing to create this spectacle. And then I'll finish. Mm-hmm. This is not an isolated thing. These rescue fantasies exist because the real power of women, which is in the roles of community, whether it's wife, mother, work, teaching, that stuff has been marginalized by our modern leftist culture that has to be replaced by activism. Your life is meaningless unless you're out there screaming at a cop's face. You have all these sad people out there in this liberation role-playing, and you're egging it on. You should not be egging this on, Jessica. You know, we had this. This is a time for brave women. We saw the rise of the internet dad, whether it was Elon Musk, Jordan Peterson, Mike Rowe, Scott Adams. These are Joe Rogan. These are people that decided to help young men find meaning in life, whether it is through service or hard work, constructive activities. Where is the internet mom? The women who step up and show younger women out of this spiritual dead end, because it is a spiritual dead end, and how apt it is that they end up in a church screaming at people. Mm-hmm. You know, this activism doesn't produce anything but suffering because it replaces what is truly meaningful in people's lives. And that's what I meant about the backdrop. It is not about good. It is not about the police officer. It's about how we got here and why we've talked about this over and over again, whether it was George Floyd, whether it was ICE. It's all, whether it was the border guard with the whip, it's all the same. It's a desire to be part of this rescue fantasy because your life's so frickin' empty.
Now, I gotta say, you know, typically I don't like when people try to like psychiatrize, you know, apply psychiatry or like therapy language to what's motivating people. Cause I think a lot of times people are motivated by what they say they're motivated by. And honestly, I'm usually annoyed because it's usually focused on right-wingers, where it's like people are, you know, will get up and just be like, I don't want my child to be a minority in their own homelands. People are like, this is really about the, let's psychoanalyze exactly why somebody would say this. And it's like, maybe because they're just telling the truth. But in this case, I think he's exactly right. I think it's undeniable he's exactly right. I think if you find honest women at these protests, I've seen videos. They'll acknowledge that he's exactly right. And in a way, it's sort of undeniable, right? Ask these people, like, what is it that inspires you to come out here? And it's like, well, I just have this desire to, you know, defend people, and I'm going to be a hero. And I mean, it's, you know, works for some of them. I mean, they feel like they're heroes. It's just that there's no risk to it. And what they're doing isn't actually heroic. Like, we've got this one. This video went viral of a woman, liberal white woman in Minneapolis, crying hysterically because ICE exists. And she's just, like, bawling and just, like, wah! And just, like, crying so hard. ICE was there because they were arresting two men, Kong Meng Vang, wanted for sexual assault, gang activity, and assault, and Liu Mao, wanted for sexual assault of a minor, rape, kidnapping, and domestic violence. Like, you get this is incompatible, right? This doesn't make any sense. In reality, what's happening here is completely nonsensical. In the imaginary world of make-believe that the leftists inhabit, this woman is heartbroken by the inhumanity of ICE just hauling people away from their family. It doesn't exist, right? She's crying. She thinks Bigfoot got shot. It doesn't exist, lady. So in reality, this woman is bawling, weeping, shuddering in emotion because two fat Asian pedophiles are getting arrested. What? Like, imagine like opening up a newspaper and being like, huh, some gang member named Vang and some child kidnapping rapist named Mao just got arrested. And the girl's like, they what? What do you mean they got arrested? It's like, I don't know. These fat foreign criminal rapists got arrested by the cops. They're like, but why? You mean they're going to go to jail? Like, yeah, they're going to go to jail. They're rapists, you weirdo. What are you crying about? Like, you understand how little sense this makes in reality? The woman is bawling. She's crying and weeping over the fact that pedophiles are being arrested. In reality. Now, in her mind, something entirely different is happening. I don't know. In reality, ICE is there to arrest Chinese pedophile gang member rapists. And this is breaking her heart. Okay. So, she shouldn't be allowed to vote. I guess what I'm saying in a word is, why do we allow her to vote? Let's go to clip number 19 here. Again, as we just talk about the obvious destruction, the deliberate destruction of America and Europe that's being wrought. And the Ukraine war is a very large portion of this. But everything that our politicians and governments and mainstream media is engaged in all contributes to this phenomenon. Let's watch clip 19.
The war between Russia and Ukraine was a war between the U.S. financial industrial complex and Europe. And Europe is already subordinate to the same financial industrial complex. It was an asset stripping operation. It was to asset strip the manufacturing base of Germany. It was to make unaffordable energy to Germany. It was to weaken the economy. They simultaneously used ESG and renewable energy and climate change to switch off all their nuclear energy. They blew up Nord Stream pipeline so that they couldn't get the energy that Europe needs and Germany needs to maintain its manufacturing base. And then they bankrupted it with QE debt and COVID and investing in brand new renewable energy that where that investment was never going to succeed because only China could do it. And so once you break Germany and the manufacturing base, you break Europe. You do Brexit, you separate out UK, you strategically destroy every aspect of Europe, and then you use covert operations. So in 2014, they did a regime change in Ukraine. They ended up with Zelensky. Zelensky works for the military industrial complex.
He's literally an actor.
Yep. You get the, you install Starmer, you install Merz, you install Macron. You install, you know, you give different flavors. You do the right-wing ones, you do the left-wing ones. And their job is to create a narrative around how we're defending democracy and that you, while everyone's addicted to drugs, homeless, going through a cost of living crisis, choosing between eating and heating, you're still okay sending $3 billion over to Ukraine that gets spent back up into the US stock market to prop up the dollar. Or you can spend it into the German military-industrial complex. But all of it is being spent into the military-industrial complex. There ain't nobody trying to stop a war right now. Russia will own Ukraine, and the financial-industrial complex will own the rest of it. And that was pre-planned.
If you think all of this is an accident, if you think all this is a coincidence, if you think all of these policies that have directly and irrefutably contributed to the total collapse of Europe are all just accidents, then you're a fool. I'm sorry to let you know. But I doubt you believe that because you're watching us on InfoWars, so you know better. We have to go educate the fools. That's about going to be it for us. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. We have some amazing deals going on right there, right now on thealexjonesstore.com. T-shirts are 25% off, hats are 20% off, hoodies are 25% off. So warm up now with a stylish hoodie from thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll be back tomorrow for more.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.